The, even the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It's going to be transferred to us. The whole earth will be transferred to us that we might reign as kings and priests with him. Do you understand this concept? It's a whole concept of we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. He transfers his wealth to us. Oh, my. If I was a shouter, I'd be shouting. It's important for us to realize that in order to receive these transfers from God, you must carry the burden. You must carry the burden. And you have to carry. See, David decided, no need to make the Levites work like that. No need for man to carry the burden. Let's get a beast. And he got an ox to carry a cart that would carry the burden. And we know the story. Man died and David was afraid of God that day. And God was, rightfully so, God was aggravated with David that day. And so David had to go back. There's nothing wrong. The worst thing you can ever do is say, well, I ain't doing it no matter what. That's stupid. I'm sorry. That's stupid. Go back and say, hey, this used to work. Let's do it again. And so he goes back and puts it on the burden. You see, he wanted to get a beast of burden when man was supposed to be the beast of burden. To carry it. And when it had gone six steps into the to back, he got that thing back. He was shouting. He shouted out of his clothes. He was shouting. I'm telling you, he was excited because he saw that man can carry this burden. There's nothing that God puts on you you can't carry. There is nothing God asked you to do that you can't do. He will equip you. If you'd have told me I was going to be a preacher when I was a young man, I would have laughed. I never dreamed I would be doing this. It would have scared me. And sometimes it still does. Carry your burden. Look beyond the burden to the glory that lies ahead. We need to be willing to carry the burden so God can get the glory. My, my, my. Many times today when you see someone, if I said name somebody that you see in the world that's glorious, it might be a football player to you, to somebody else, it may be a guitar player, or whatever you would name. You say, man, that guy can really play. I mean, that Chet Atkins, I'm telling you, I watched a YouTube of him the other day. I turned it off. I said, why do I want to watch this? I would never be able to do that. I like to watch things that I could say, hey, I might could do that. But things I know that's outside of my reach, I'm like, phew. You know, and so I'm like, but the glory of him playing is just unbelievable. But there was a story. If we could talk to his mama, she'd say he went to sleep in the bedroom with his guitar in his hand. I promise you, he didn't get that without practicing. And there was a burden. There was a sacrifice. Listen close. Listen real close. That when the concept here of offering a sacrifice to God, you didn't get the glory of God till the sacrifice was consumed. There had to be a sacrifice to get the glory. But when the sacrifice was consumed and all the water in Elijah's case was licked up and the rocks were even gone, everything was gone, then the fire fell. The glory of God showed up. And so it is also when you look at someone and say, man, that's glorious. Their sacrifice has been consumed. What you don't see is what they went through to be who they are. So that when you look at them and say, oh, that must be nice. Yes, it may be. But you aren't there to see the sacrifice that they went through because it was consumed. It's gone. Now you see the glory. And envious people and jealous people, oh, that must be nice. But you don't know the burden they carried and the sacrifice they put out to get that glory. Because I'm telling you, everything that's glorious had a burden story to it. Hallelujah. So it was in the Old Testament. The glory of God never came down without the offering of some kind of sacrifice. David sacrificed himself. He said, offerings of burnt offerings, I'd give that to you, but that's not what you want. But where a broken heart and a contrite spirit is, God shows up. So he gave him a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Let's go a little further. I got a little bit more to go. Everything that was in the ark had weight. Let's look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes. That preaches there. I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going through, what your dilemma may be. I don't know, but it's for your good. That the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. This word redound means to go back to or to be equal to or to enhance the glory of God. So everything that you go through is for your own good that God might get the glory. Boy, if you ever realize that, again, I will say he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Not his joy, your joy, right? Because even David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. The last time I checked, y'all are all getting older. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is... I'm just as young today. I'm just as excited today about God and living for God as I was the day I got this thing. If not, well, I think I'm younger. I really do. I'm feeling younger. I'm more excited about God than I ever was before. Now, I may not look on the outside. That's all right. Go ahead and clap your hands. I think you're excited too. Hallelujah. We ought to be younger and younger and living for God. We start out an old man, we end up a babe. But we start out a babe and end up an old man. My outward man is perishing. Now watch how he compares this. This is very important. For our light afflictions, I don't know what you're going through, but you didn't go through what Paul went through, I assure you. For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Your life is, James said, like a vapor. It's gone. Two generations from now, Paul, who? Who? Oh yeah, that was your great-grandpa. Oh, okay. They won't remember you. Our light affliction, but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal what? Weight of glory. I want to talk for a few minutes about the weight of glory. The weight of it. How much does your glory weigh? While we look not at the things which are seen. See, that's what you keep happening. You look at what's seen, the troubles and the things that you're in. You look at what you see. But the things which are not seen, see, he said, I'm looking at things you can't see. Wow, grab that. Even Moses followed him who was invisible, seeing him who was invisible. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm here to tell you there is a weight to glory. An exceeding eternal weight, and the things that we go through, Paul compared them to light afflictions. He said, the weight of that don't compare to the weight of this. I'm getting more out of this than that little moment I go through. See, our problem, I'll be honest with you, we're too carnal. I'm sorry. Too carnal. We look at all the things we need, we're going to buy, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the things of God get neglected many, many, many times. And so that when you get to heaven, he don't care about your car, he don't care about your boat, he don't care how many 10-point bucks you killed. All he cares about is what did you do with your burden. I can't get glory if you don't have a burden. So Paul does this comparison, talking about the weight of glory. And the weight of something is the value of something. And weight is normally compared to like gold and silver. So that one writer, I think it was Peter, said that we have, that your fiery trials are more precious than gold, right? So the weight of glory, he's really comparing this to something precious. So that 1 ounce of gold costs more than a half ounce. 2 ounces cost more than 1 ounce. And you keep adding weight to it, it becomes more precious and more valuable. And the price goes up based upon how much you can carry. I'll shew him what things he must suffer for my sake. Look at what he carried and look at what he wrote. How much are you willing to carry? Because if you don't carry much, God won't get much. But where much is given, I said where much is given,
You see, and we can look, what happens is we compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, Brother Baggett, you know, so-and-so has more than me, and so-and-so. Let's go to Africa. Let's go to Ethiopia. Start comparing yourself to some real people that walk to church. Let's compare ourselves to some real people that are getting your clothes that you throw away and happy to get them with a big red stain right there and don't have no problem with it. Happy to get two shoes that just fit. They don't match, but they fit. Now, what about your burden? What would you say? See, we compare ourselves among ourselves. Oh, I don't have this and I don't have that. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Compare yourself to somebody else that's lower than you and not somebody that's higher than you. And then all of a sudden you start feeling pretty good about yourself. Amen. I got to close this up. There is a way to glory. Light afflictions, he said, they're but a moment, but it's working for me an eternal weight in glory. I want to look at John 12, 23 through 28. I have used this three sermons, I think, in a row, and I'm going to use it again this morning. And Jesus, because I'm here to tell you that anytime that there is glory, trouble is what brings on the glory. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say." Now, he gives us an example of the trouble and the glory. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall," trouble, "into the ground and die," trouble, "it abideth alone. But if it carry that burden and it die, it's glorious. It brings forth much fruit." So he's telling us what trouble does for you. I'm here to tell you, whatever kind of preacher you think I am not what I would have been if I hadn't have met trouble. I met trouble. And trouble perfected me. Trouble escalated me. Trouble gave God glory. But had I not had trouble, you wouldn't have whatever good I can do here. It wouldn't be here. "Except it fall and except it die." Oh, that's like the worst trouble there is. Falling and dying. "But if it'll do this and carry that burden, it'll bring forth much fruit. He that loves his life, he brings it to us, shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into eternal life." See, he brings it out of the carnal. He talks about the grain of wheat, and then he brings it to the spiritual thing. That little thing we do in the earth brings forth an abundance for heaven. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father glorify," or honor. "Now is my soul," what? "Troubled." What did he say at the beginning of this? "The time has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Then now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." How are you going to get glory if you save me from this hour? If I don't have trouble, you don't get glory. "But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." What was his name? Jesus. "Glorify me. Use me to bring glory to you." "Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." Trouble is what brings the glory on. Where much is given, much is required. And you and I this morning, God has placed a lot in our hands. Expect trouble. The more you have, the more trouble you can expect. If you got 10 cars, one of them's going to break down every week. The more you've got, the more trouble you're going to have. To be effective, you have to be affected. Did you understand that? To have an effective ministry, you have to be affected somewhere. To be an effective singer, you must be affected somewhere. Effect. Affect. There are things that affect me that make me effective. If I wasn't affected by other things, I would never be effective. But I'm passionate about living for God, working for God, because I have been affected somewhere in my life. And we have to bring the affection into being effective in living for God. Glory has weight, and so does life. I close with this thought. Glory has weight, and so does this life. You talk to anybody in this world, they have weights. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us and run this race with patience. But I'm here to tell you, glory has weight too. All we're doing in living for God is exchanging weights. That's all it is. We're all going to be burdened with something. Paul, look, he said, see these marks? I got this. And you see this? I got this. And oh, I was shipwrecked 3 times. Weights. See, when he was preaching to the Jews, the Gentiles hated him. Then he starts preaching to the Gentiles, and the Jews hated him. You just exchange hate. You exchange weights. So that I'd rather carry a weight that's working for me than the burdens of this world that drag me down. So when we get so involved with the cares of this world, we go down. But if you're involved with the cares of God, he lifts you up. You can carry that burden. So choose your weights carefully, because you're going to carry weights. But if you carry the weight for Christ, he will strengthen you and encourage you. But if you want to carry the weights of this world, it will drag you down, and eventually you will find yourself lost. Hallelujah. Glory. The burden of glory, of God's glory, is on your shoulders. Carry it with pride, the godly pride. I'm thankful to be called a Christian. I'm thankful to be living for God. Hallelujah. Let the world talk. They won't save you in the last days. Only the one you carry the burden for will lift your burden. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break. We'll be back for morning worship shortly.